You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. I'm your host, Will DeWitt, and it's great to be back behind the mic for another episode, and I'm excited to talk more Bears football with you. This week, we're continuing our State of the Franchise series, and today we'll be breaking down the current state of the Bears defense heading into the 2019 offseason. And to help me break down this side of the ball, I am joined by my co-host Brandon Hazlett, and we're bringing on our draft guru and overall good guy, Steve Letizia. Brandon, I don't want to know, and we've been talking off and on today. We've been both very busy with our day jobs ever since the season kind of ended, but how have you been, man?
Been really good. You said it feels good to be behind the mic, but it feels like I haven't been on in like eons, so it feels really good for me to get back behind the mic here.
I'm sure it does. And Steve, I know you've been chomping at the bit to get back here on the podcast. You released an article today on our blog that we're kind of getting back into some, I'm going to call it game shape, even though it's off season. I'm going to call our blog getting into game shape right now. But how's your off season been? I know we're a little bit more than a month removed from the season. Hopefully things are, you're transitioning to the off season as well as possible. But how have you been?
Yeah, I've been okay. I'm finally getting over how the season ended. So, but yeah, I'm excited to be back on. I think this is the first time I've been on since the name change, actually. So this is my first time on the Chicago Audible podcast. So that's exciting.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Haven't we always been the Chicago
Audible?
Can we
not talk about that?
I don't think we can. I mean, I think we can mention it, but I don't know if we're even allowed to say the old names. But those who are listening know exactly what we're referring to. And if you're new to the show and you don't know, that's okay. It's nothing that important. A name's a name. It's just something that you know, it's a label, and we're still the same people behind it. But guys, I'm excited to get going. And Steve, like you said, it's been about, you know, a month or so removed. We're past the Super Bowl, starting to feel better about how things ended. Maybe not better, but being able to move on. I think I went through all the stages of grief afterwards, and now it's time to start anew. And that's what the Say the Franchise episodes are all about. And just in case you didn't listen to the offensive version, or you need a quick reminder of what is in store for this episode, we're going to break down each position, with today's focus being on the Bears defense. I'm explaining the current state of each and much more, including the level of need. And we'll even play a game to determine which upcoming Bears free agents should receive a new contract in Chicago or not. So pretty much we're going to analyze each position, explain where they currently stand, and we just want to find a way to make them better before next season rolls around. So guys, are you ready to roll?
Let's do it, do it.
Let's do it.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and take a hard look at that already stout Bears defense. And just in case you need a reminder, because I love pointing out some of these facts, they finished 2018 third in yards per game allowed, first in points per game allowed, seventh against the pass, first against the run, fourth on third down, and they were the sixth best defense in red zone efficiency last year. So let's go ahead and treat this like a post-game show and begin like we typically do. And with that being the Bears defensive line, led by Pro Bowler Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman, this was a unit that saw some great play all year long. And obviously they were an intricate part of the defense's overall success. And Brandon, you are Mr. Trenches, so I want to kind of hand it over to you first. And I want to look at number 91, right in the middle, big old nose tackle Eddie Goldman, because last season was perhaps his finest as a pro in Chicago to be a Bear. And I'm curious, do you believe that that's kind of his ceiling of what we saw last year? Or do you believe that Goldman still possesses some more potential underneath the hood to take a step further in 2019?
I think his role really kind of limits his statistical production as far as things go. But I mean, overall, when you know, ignore the statistics and just watch him play football, I mean, I think he still has a little bit more to go because he missed some time in the past. So that really kind of hindered his development, his potential really. And this year was kind of, I'll say a breaking out party when he finishes with 40 or 23 solo tackles, 40 total, three sacks on the year. So overall, I mean, he's bringing the pressure from up the middle. He's able to stop the run, fills his gap, allows the linebackers to come in to either side of the gap next to him. He just does a very good job of eating up offensive linemen to allow linebackers to come in and make the play. And that's really what his role as nose tackle is supposed to be, just to eat up offensive plays. So I'd like to say that there's still a little bit more room for Eddie to grow, especially as a pass rusher, but you know, that's not typically his role. So there's still some development in other areas that he can do, but I think that we haven't seen the best of Eddie Goldman quite yet.
Steve, last season, I think it was right around the midway point, maybe in the third quarter of the year, you wrote an article about Eddie Goldman being that unsung hero of the Bears defense. I'd be really curious your take here about where Eddie kind of currently stands and what you kind of project forward for him. You're still muted, Steve.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I kind of agree with Brandon. I think he can get a little bit better in the stat sheet, but even if he doesn't, you know, he had a great year this past year. So even if he never becomes a great sack guy, he's going to clog up lanes, make it easy for the linebackers. So even if he just repeats what he did last year, I'll take that 100% of the time.
Yeah, no complaints whatsoever. Again, Eddie Goldman really got into his own, and him being healthy too, I think was a big part of his overall success that he was able to create for himself. And moving forward, looking at someone else on this defensive line, and I might be going a little bit out of order here, but I'm very excited about this kid. And yeah, I'm talking about Bilal Nichols, because last year's fifth round pick out of Delaware, obviously he really impressed, and he displayed plenty of flashes to have us excited about his long-term potential. And Steve, I want to go to you first. What do you like about the kid, and what are your expectations for him next year? Do you think he's going to be still a rotational piece, or do you see him making a step and becoming a starter opposite of Akeem Hicks?
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to go into next season as the starter. I like Roy Robertson and Harris Springs, but I think Bilal Nichols has shown that he can be that starter opposite Akeem Hicks. But yeah, I really love Bilal Nichols and what he did this last year. He came on really strong in the beginning of the year. I think he kind of tailed off at the end, but that's just what happens your rookie year. You know, you're not used to a full season. You know, a little bit better conditioning, he could probably continue that going for the long haul. But yeah, he'll be the starter in the base packages, and then but he'll come out on passing downs and nickel packages, and then he'll be able to give Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman a breather from time to time. So yeah, I'm really excited about his future. I think he can be an Akeem Hicks light kind of thing.
All right, so today is February 15th, 2019. Steve already is on the record saying that Bilal Nichols will be a starter next year. I'm writing this down so we don't forget it. I'm sure you're going to stand by that. I would too. I mean, I'm very hopeful for what kind of role he can carve out for himself. What about you, B? Even if, say, he doesn't, you know, grab a starter's role, what do you envision his 2019 season looking like? Because, and here's the thing about the Bears defense. I want to preface this whole show now, even though we're a little bit into it. They're stacked, and there's a few areas where there's some depth concerns, but overall, they're in a great position. We know that, so we're just kind of projecting forward here. But Bilal Nichols, B, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, even if he doesn't become a starter, I mean, this, you know, end opposite of Akeem Hicks has really struggled to find a solidified piece that could play, you know, the same amount of percentage snaps that Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman does. So if Bilal Nichols doesn't take that, then I think that means that John Bullard and Roy Robertson Harris are taking those steps to become that type of player. Frankly, I don't necessarily see that in their potential. I think they're very good rotational pieces. And Bilal Nichols, I think, has far more potential. He's got a higher ceiling than John Bullard and Roy Robertson Harris. As much as I enjoy both those guys, they only show flashes. But Bilal Nichols, I think, is a guy, and I'm with Steve on this one. If he doesn't end up being the starter, then that's, you know, I think that's a good sign. Because John Bullard and Ray Robertson Harris are actually stepping up to the plate to be able to take that starting spot. But I think Bilal Nichols in the long term is going to be that guy that takes the same amount of snaps percentage-wise as an Akeem Hicks or an Eddie Goldman, is continue to make that same type of impact that those two guys can make.
Sure. And of course, Roy Robertson Harris coming back isn't 100% certainty right now. Obviously, he has some exclusive rights here in Chicago, but we can't say 100% that Roy Robertson Harris will be a Bear in 2019. We'll discuss that here later on the show. But Steve, I'm actually curious your thoughts on this whole John Bullard, Roy Robertson Harris discussion. You know, we talked a lot about it last offseason, training camp, yeah, preseason. And then once the regular season came, just like Brandon said, they both just kind of show flashes. I do believe Roy Robertson Harris flashed a little bit more. They are two separate and totally independent and kind of opposite players of what they kind of bring to the table. I do believe if you combine the two, you have yourself one sturdy defensive end. But unfortunately, yeah, Science has not really given us that ability just yet. But I'm curious, are you confident, say, if they bring both of them back next year with the defensive line kind of depth, or are you still looking to add more talent?
No, if they bring both of them back, I'm pretty confident with the defensive line talent. I mean, maybe they could draft someone or bring in a veteran free agent, maybe on a cheap deal to just compete. But yeah, you're totally right about combining them. They'd be a perfect defensive end if you could do that. I like Roy Robinson Harris a little bit more. I think he provides more of a pass rush. I really like him in nickel package. Jonathan Bullitt, I actually would not be super surprised if he is cut. I think they would save almost $1 million by cutting him. And if Bonal Nichols has passed him and Roy Robinson Harris has passed him, how much playing time is he actually going to really get? Or maybe you can bring in an undrafted free agent to get the same kind of production for a little cheaper. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's cut, wouldn't be surprised if he's back, but I do like the depth on the defensive line.
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but if my memory serves me correctly, I think he only played like less than 350 snaps last year, Bowler did, on defense, which, again, even though I say $1 million in the grand scheme of things isn't killing you in the cap, obviously, that's still a lot of money to throw away for less than 500 snaps on defense, like you mentioned. So he is someone that is kind of in that rookie territory. B, what would you do? Would you bring him back for $1 million or not?
It really depends on what else is out there. I mean, if Ryan Pace hits the fourth round like he has consistently the last couple of years at that position, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm content. I mean, you bring those two guys back and that's totally fine. They were good rotational pieces and it was all fine and dandy. But if there's an opportunity to upgrade, especially in that fourth round like Ryan Pace likes to hit, then I don't see John Bullard really coming back, because I'm with Steve. I like Roy Robertson Harris a lot. I've liked him a lot more from the beginning than John Bullard. So I frankly am on the wrong side of the fence for John Bullard. I think that he gets cut if there's an opportunity to upgrade.
All right. Any final thoughts about the defensive line? Again, the defense is odd. The offense had a little bit more wiggle room, but obviously when you're returning on minimum 9 of 11 starters, you're not looking to make many splash moves here. And we don't really have the financial capital to do so at that. So any final thoughts about the defensive line, where they're going, anything about last year that kind of stood out that you wanted to kind of get off your chest now?
Games are won and lost here. I'll start with that, as I like to say with every trench player that's out there. So I think that the fact that these guys, there's not a whole lot of capital to move these guys around, I think this is a very solidified group of guys. Like they hang out with each other. They have the chemistry with each other. I guess that's what I was trying to say. So I know what to expect of each other. They're going to hold each other accountable, and they know what their roles are, which is very important, because that's where. Like I said, it's not just in the trenches, but it's also in the mindset. Be that role player. Not everyone has to be a star. So I think that this is a very solid group moving forward, even if they decide to add some guys just to some competition and one of them ends up losing somewhere. I mean, I think this is just a very well-rounded group with a lot of depth and a lot of talent.
Here you go, Steve. I got a question for you about Keem Hicks. I feel like we should talk about him, even though he is, he's a foundational piece. He's there. Last year, compared to, say, 2017, he did see a decline in snaps in 2018, and we wanted that because he was playing way too many. Do you think the Bears found the right amount of snaps for him to play, or at this stage of his career, as he isn't getting any younger? I believe Akeem Hicks can still play at a high level for a few more years to come. Do you see him playing around the same amount, or do you see potentially him getting a little bit more rest this season as well compared to last year?
I'd imagine he probably plays around the same percentage. I'm all for defensive linemen and pass rushers getting a breather from now every now and then, because you got to keep them fresh. But I think he actually got stronger as the year went on, as opposed to 2 years ago where he kind of tailed off at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So I think he's found a good percentage. If they want to cut it back a little bit, I'm okay with that. But I don't want to take Akeem Hicks off the field too much.
All right. I'm going to wrap up that discussion here on the defensive line by saying something I did with the offensive state of the franchise. Even though this position feels to be solid from top to bottom, I would still bring in at least one more veteran, one more rookie, just to add more talent to the discussion, to add a little bit more competition there. And I think the Bears follow this mantra, whereas the more competition you have, the whole iron sharpens iron thing in the NFL too. If you're not getting any better, you're getting worse because everyone around you is getting better. So even though we do believe it's the depth is there, I would not be surprised if they invest either in a veteran for a decent price or even one of our limited draft picks at this position as well. All right. Well, so next up, we're going to talk about the Bears outside linebackers. But first, I'm going to call a quick timeout to tell you about our show sponsor, SeatGeek. Getting tickets to your favorite game online can just be far too complicated. With hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability, it's hard to know exactly who you should trust. And that's why we're proud to partner with SeatGeek. And really, they're the only way to go. And what makes SeatGeek unique is that they pull millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats that you want for a price that you're willing to pay. And there's something quite like being at the event that you want to be at in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. And as you know, there's a lot of reasons why I love SeatGeek, but this week I just want to tell you a little bit about their notifications, because boy, do I love them. Number one, they're customizable. You can get push notifications on any of your devices in any way, shape, or form that is tailored to your preferences. And on top of that, for me personally, I love how it shows me either the teams or the events that I'm interested in attending. So if I look at some events or check out the Bears tickets, for example, and on top of that, they kind of let you know what's going on nearby. Like, so for me, I live in Bloomington, so let me know what's going on in Bloomington, also Indianapolis. And sometimes you find some events that I'm really interested in that I had no idea were actually taking place. And even better, if you look at an event and you decide now is not the time to buy tickets, they do let you know if there's a significant price drop on the average price per ticket. And I love that, because that way you can go right back in. And if it's a little bit more aligned with your budget after the price drop, you can go in there and snag those deals before those tickets end up not being available any longer. So SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. So make sure to make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And the best part of all is that our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the app and enter the promo code BEARS today. That's promo code BEARS, B-E-A-R-S, for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Alrighty, you're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm your host, Will DeWitt. I'm joined by my co-host, Brandon Hazlett, and also our site writer, Steve Letizia. And we are giving you the current state of the Chicago Bears defense here midway through the month of February. And we're moving our discussion towards the Bears outside linebackers, who, of course, had a great year. And on top of that, of course, Khalil Mack, thank you for coming to Chicago. Thank you, John Gruden. I had to get that all out of the way. But to be able to watch Khalil Mack for, you know, all season long firsthand, to witness what kind of player he has, was just such an amazing experience. I'm excited to see where he can take that going further. And on top of that, outside of Mack, we saw Leonard Floyd last season. He started off slow due to his hand injury, but he too, like Steve talked about with Akeem Hicks, he got better as the season wore on. And I want to begin this discussion actually with a fan question, and it comes from Bijan Brown. And let's go ahead and hand over to Brandon first. As great as Khalil Mack is, do you think that he has another level to reach, and will Coach Pagano impact that?
Yeah, I think Pagano could definitely impact that, because he's a more aggressive guy. We've seen Fangio take his outside linebackers into coverage sometimes, which is kind of, with both Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack, I mean, I would advise against that, just because we know how powerful that they can be in the pass rush. And I think Pagano realizes that, and he's going to send them as often as he can. So I think if there is another level for Khalil Mack to reach, Pagano is going to be the guy that gets him there, just because of his aggressive mentality.
What about you, Steve? I'd be curious to this, because I believe what we saw out of Khalil Mack early on in the season was nothing short than, you know, awe-inspiring and fantastic, phenomenal, any other thesaurus word I can throw in there. And then he had, after his ankle injury, it was a little bit down and up, which, again, he's all pro, perennial, not complaining one bit. But I'd be curious, do you think he can take his play to yet another level next season? Is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to expect more out of Khalil Mack than he gave us last season. But he did miss two games due to injury, and then he was also injured for two other games. And he also didn't have a preseason and came to the Bears late, obviously. So maybe just because of those factors, his stat sheet, he might put up more stats on the stat sheet, might get up to 15 sacks maybe. But I think it's hard to expect more of an impact out of a player than Khalil Mack than the impact he had on our defense last season. Yeah. But you never know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's what I was saying. Like, he's so good. It's,
yeah,
the if room for improvement smaller, but it, yeah, it would be him.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and bounce to the other side. Let's look at Leonard Floyd. Obviously, from the sack department, he really didn't reach the level that we all thought he kind of could be at this stage of his career. And I understand that, like Brandon mentioned, he was asked to do a lot of different things, not just purely rush the passer. And despite having less sacks than he thought he had, he did impact games, especially later on in the season, again, in multiple ways, and than just the stats and the sacks. So, Brandon, over to you. I'm just curious, and let's have some fun here. What are some of your way too early expectations for Floyd next year in this, I'm gonna say new system, but I'm gonna say fine tuned system if he can remain healthy?
I think we see more tackles out of him, more total tackles. He finished with 47. I bet he can get up there closer to 60 because he's so good at setting the edge and stopping the run. I think that he can see an increase in the total tackle category when he's healthy, if he can stay healthy for the entire year. And then I would expect that sack number to go up. I wouldn't say quite to double digits because it's really hard to compete with Cleo Mack for the amount of sacks. Because, you know, when he's pushing guys with one arm, that's really hard to compete with. But Leonard Floyd's also a good hand fighter. He's quick. He's going to be able to blow past guys as well. So I would say that his sack number can go from 4, I'll say, to 8 or 9. I think he can double the amount of sacks he had as long as he can stay healthy. But he's just an aggressive player. I expect that total tackle number to go up because he's going to be able to be a bigger part of stopping the run, be able to be more aggressive. And he's just also really good at setting the edge. He's very underrated as far as his run defense goes.
Steve, do you have any, because again, I know you love edge rushers and watching the film on them. With Leonard Floyd, is there something that he can kind of fine tune, refine, work on this offseason to really help him take that next step?
Yeah, he just needs to get better at converting the speed to power. He's got that quick first step, but he's able to set the edge in the run game, but he's not able to convert his pass rush to power in the pass rush game. So he needs to get a little bit stronger. I know he's, like I said, he sets the edge well in the run game, but a little bit stronger in the upper body to rush the passer. He can use his hands a lot better. He kind of relies on that inside move a lot. And he is so fast, so he sets it up nicely. But yeah, he can get better with his hands and get a little stronger. But yeah, I don't know if I see him ever being a double digit sack guy. That I thought he could when we drafted him. I was kind of expecting to get a double-digit sack guy. But if he can be a 6, 7, 8 sack a year guy opposite Khalil Mack, that's fine. And then also be really strong in the run game like he's shown he can do.
All right, I have a two-part question to kind of wrap up our discussion on the outside linebackers. And again, we don't really know the fates of an Aaron Lynch or an Isaiah Irving right now at the moment, and we're going to talk about each soon. But looking at the outside linebackers as it stands, I'm going to your confidence level in the position, because personally, I think it does need some attention. I think the Bears are in need of some better depth here. And just part two, Kylie Fitz, what are the chances that he can take on a bigger role next year? Because obviously that would be ideal if he can be groomed into and grow into a decent, what I'm going to say, role kind of guy. Steve, I'm just curious your thoughts here.
Yeah, I liked Kylie Fitz when we drafted him. He showed a little bit in the preseason that it was pretty impressive. He didn't really show much during the regular season, although he didn't get much of an opportunity. But yeah, I think he'll be given every shot to be a part of the rotation. Again, I don't see him ever being a starter, but if you can be that third, fourth pass rusher who can come in and give Khalil Mack a breather, that's kind of what the best case scenario, I think, for him next season.
What about you, B? Either on Fitz or just your overall confidence in the Bears' depth at the position? Because I believe Leonard Floyd, Khalil Mack, great. No worries there. But behind them, that's where things get murky for me.
Right. The overall theme of the outside linebacker, for me, the confidence is wavering a little bit. Because like you said, Leonard Floyd, Khalil Mack, obviously all-stars, punch them in. You know, they're these solid guys that are going to be there, the staples of that position. And last year we thought, going into it, that the outside linebackers are going to be the strength of the team. That was prior to Komak, because we had Aaron Lynch. We're like, well, we're not really sure what we're getting out of him, you know, and he turns out he's got this really high motor and can really overpower guys. It almost seems like when he wants to. So I don't know necessarily how much his want is necessarily to be an outside linebacker. I know he has his health issues, so that could definitely reflect that, as well as he's trying to be a little bit more conservative. But regardless, I'm bringing in guys to try and compete for the depth. I expect, like Steve, Kylie Fitz to get every opportunity to be a part of the rotation as he can. But there's got to be some sort of fire lit under this position to get the most out of it, because if Leonard Floyd, as we've seen, really struggles to stay healthy, who's your backup there? Because if you don't bring back Aaron Lynch, then you're looking at Kylie Fitz. Like Steve said, he impressed in training camp in the preseason, but sometimes that's against lesser competition or competition of the same level as Kylie Fitz. So once he gets up there against the starters, how well is he going to perform? That's still yet to be remain to see. So stick around. But regardless, I expect there to be some sort of veteran brought in, some sort of undrafted free agent, some sort of, maybe they even draft a guy at this position. But I think this is one of the highlights that Ryan Pace has to hit in this offseason, just to add some more depth to really round out the position.
Yeah, because unlike other positions like corner and safety and even inside linebacker, this is a true rotation. And that's what makes it very important. Because for me, when I look at this, I really see it as this. Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack, again, we understand what those what they bring to the table, their strengths, their weaknesses. Khalil Mack has a weakness. Okay. And on top of that, once they're out, though, if we can find one or two guys, and maybe Isaiah Irving is one, maybe Kylie Fitz is two, maybe Aaron Lynch comes back, maybe. That's something I'm not even 100% behind myself. But we saw flashes out of a Lynch last year who can be the kind of guy who I want, where if Khalil Mack needs 3 to 4 plays off, they come in, high energy, going up against a fatigued offensive tackle, and finding a way to make an impact. We didn't have that a lot last year. As soon as Khalil Mack went off the field, as soon as Leonard Floyd took a breather, you saw a noticeable difference. And I understand you're not going to have the same kind of talent, but if you can find those high motor guys who can take advantage of already worn down linemen in the mid, later stages of the game, that's what would make this defense take him to the next step, I believe. And it would be a lot of fun to see. You know, Khalil Mack, even if he needs to take a 2-minute breather and whoever comes in can just be disruptive, that's the kind of guy we're looking for. And hopefully the Bears can find a way to get one or two of those guys this offseason. But guys, let's go into slide inside. And something that really pleases me in hindsight was this unit's ability to remain healthy. And I guess that comment is more of Danny Trevathan than anything else here. And obviously, this was due to his ability to be available for the first time all season as a Chicago Bear. And of course, watching the rise of Roquan Smith, it was a lot of fun to watch these two really lock down the middle of the field. So Brandon, over to you. What are some things that you saw to Roquan Smith that A, displayed growth, and B, that proved that he is adjusting to the pro level? And do you envision the game slowing down for him in year two? Because I do. I think a lot of people do as well. And how should that even help further elevate his play?
Yeah, I mean, we knew when we drafted Roquan, we were getting the athleticism, the very good coverage linebacker that he is, and that's exactly what we've seen. I think the game actually slowed down for him as the year went on because his productivity went up. I mean, he always seemed to find himself around the ball early in the year, but as the year got on, he was always consistently around the ball, which is what you want out of an inside linebacker, because Danny Trevathan was the same way. Well, he still is the same way. So the inside linebacker position in general is the strongest on this defense, in my opinion, because of Roquan's athletic ability, his smarts of the game. And once he slows it down a little bit more, then I think he's just going to see everything so clearly, and he's just going to be this all-star inside linebacker for years and years to come. Then I think the Bears absolutely hit a home run with Roquan there. And then you just kind of go over to Danny Trevathan, who's really the same way, just a smart guy. He's a little undersized, you know, this kind of the common knock on him. But regardless, he's still good in coverage. I think he had an interception or two this year. You know, very good at getting into the quarterback, the pocket when he's asked to, putting the pressure on the quarterback when he's asked to. Same with Roquan. I think Roquan had 3 sacks this year as well. So just this whole group overall is just very well rounded. And I think Roquan still has a lot of growth still. I think once he slows things down, gets more experience under his belt, he's going to be in really good shape, be a really good linebacker.
Steve, scale 1 to 10, how likely is it that Roquan Smith is a Pro Bowler in 2019?
Okay. I'm going to go as high as 10. I think he's definitely going to be a Pro Bowl. If he plays the way he did the last 10 weeks of the season, there's no way he's not making it to the Pro Bowl. Yeah. Especially with a full offseason with the Bears, a full training camp with the Bears. If he's healthy, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. That's 2 bold predictions for me today.
You're on it. I love it, though. I love it. This is why we brought you on, for the bold predictions. And it's not even a game preview, so that makes it more... Well, I was going to say more better, but it sounds terrible. That's terrible English. but I do actually have another question about Danny Trevathan, and this one is for Steve, too. And I don't want to do scale 1 to 10 because I just did. So how about we rank it from not likely, somewhat likely, moderately likely, and very likely? What are the chances that this is Danny Trevathan's final year in Chicago? He is on the last year of his deal.
Yeah, I'd say probably moderately likely. I think Danny Trevathan has been a great Bear. It's been a great signing. Now that he's finally healthy last year, he proved that he is the linebacker that we thought we were getting when we signed him. So I would love to have him beyond next year. But I think the Bears like Nick Kwiatkowski. They like Joel Igbunuwe, if I pronounce that right. I think with Roquan Smith in there now, taking over the kind of the primary role of calling the plays on the defense, which he'll do once Trevathan is gone, I think they'll feel comfortable letting him go and using that money elsewhere. They will have some money issues going into next offseason, just like they do this offseason. So I think this is most likely Trevathan's last year. But not because he's been bad, but just because that's just the nature of the business. So.
Exactly. And nature, that's a good way to put it. Just the nature of the business, because like you said, for these next few years and for the foreseeable future, a lot of money constraints coming up, which if the Bears are going to be relevant and they're going to be, you know, perennially in the playoffs and making deep playoff runs, that's a fine situation to be in. Now, of course, if they underperform, that's a whole different scenario. But I don't think any of us envision that really going in that direction. But you mentioned that the Bears like Nick Kwiatkowski and they like Iggy. So, Brandon, what is your confidence in those two guys and the overall depth at this position?
This just goes along with what I was saying, how this position itself is, I think, the strongest on the team because Nick Kwiatkowski has the starting experience. I mean, other people with this podcast group may not agree with that, calling out Will Ingles here. Not necessarily the biggest Nick Kwiatkowski fan, but regardless, he's got the starting experience and he may be slow in his first step when it comes to a pass rusher hitting the hole, being hesitant to get in there and make the play on the running back. But he did play a little bit of coverage in college, I think is something that he can rely back on because Chuck Pagano is a very good coverage defensive coordinator. So going forward, I expect that to be a strength of Nick Kwiatkowski rather than having to be that downhill guy. And Joelye Buniway, I mean, he's just a freak athlete. I mean, his arms are huge. He's just really, really strong. And I have total confidence in him to be able to come in and fill a role if need be, because I've seen a stat today. I think it was from our friend Lester Wiltfong at Windy City Gridiron, where he led the team in solo special teams tackles this year. So he's a ball hog just as much as the rest of these inside linebackers are.
You know, you talked about, you know, freak athletic ability. I think you have some freak lingual ability for being able to whip out EA Booney way as casually as he did.
No problem. I know it. I've been practicing it. I don't know why, but in the truck, I'm like, Booney way, EA Booney way. I don't know why.
That's odd. The strain. I'm not going to lie there. Wow, I don't think I said that in a podcast in a few years, actually. But moving forward from my old catchphrases, Steve, and this is nitpicking at this point, but is there one thing that you can think of that the inside linebackers can improve on from last year to 2019?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I was really impressed with Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan. Something they can improve upon.
That's a tough question.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
I'm drawing a blank here. That is a good problem to have. I think they played great. If they continue to do what they're doing, that's good enough for me.
Just like Eddie Goldman.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. Any other thoughts on the inside guys before we move over to the secondary?
This is a position that I don't think that really needs to be touched. I mean, they can bring guys in for competition purposes, try and get the most out of these other four that they have, but I don't see any sort of movement this year as far as players go. They may, you know, add a couple guys here and there, try and prepare for past Danny Trevathan era, but I don't expect it to be anything major this year.
The one thing I'll say is, I'm not sure if this is going to happen, but Nick Kwiatkowski did get that, hit those escalator clauses. So he's making $2 million this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he were maybe traded for a mid-round pick potentially, because you do have Danny Trevathan for one more year and maybe they like EA Bunyue or maybe they decide to draft someone else, but just something to look out for. You never know, but he's making more money than he did last year. So.
Hey, and we're just talking about the $1 million for, who was that $1 million for? Don Bullard?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, same scenario, really, with Nick Kwiatkowski. It's $2 million, too much money for a potentially third to fourth on the depth chart inside linebacker who just primarily plays on special teams. That's a good question to consider throughout this offseason, no doubt about it, especially if other options do present themselves. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and officially shift our focus to that Bears secondary, and let's begin at cornerback. The Bears will at least be returning both outside starters in Princeton Mukamara and Kyle Fuller. And outside of that, there are some questions, not just with Bryce Callahan returning or not, but just the overall depth of this position as well. But let's go ahead and begin and take a look at Kyle Fuller, who put together a spectacular season that ended up going to a Pro Bowl, which congratulations for Kyle for turning around his career in such a great manner. But I'm curious, and Brandon, I want to go to you first. What's your confidence that he'll be able to maintain that level of play, especially given the fact that he's losing his DB's coach, Ed Donatel, who was behind a lot of his resurrection?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty confident in Kyle Fuller because Chuck Pagano has also shown that he can play, you know, just as good coverage as anybody else out there. And I think that's really going to be important for him, especially with as aggressive as he likes to be. I expect to see a few more blitzes this year from the defense in general. So that's going to put Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara, the other nickel corner, whoever that may be, whether it's Bryce Callahan or not, that's going to put them on islands from time to time. And I think Pagano is going to put a lot of pressure on Kyle Fuller and these guys to be able to step up and be able to continue to do what they did last year in order to force those turnovers, because pressure is going to be coming. So they got to be able to make the most of the opportunities of these bad passes that come out of it. And I think Kyle Fuller is definitely that guy who's shown that he can do that. He took the role that not a lot of us thought that he could fill. I was confident in him. I just want to throw that one out there, but I didn't expect this type of production out of him at all. So I think that it's a good confidence builder for him, especially because now teams know, you know, we can't really pick on Kyle Fuller in these one-on-one situations as much as teams tried to. I just don't think that's possible. I think he's just got so much confidence right now that I don't really see his play declining enough for teams to want to just pick on him on a regular basis.
Brandon, do you want to know why I'm confident in Kyle Fuller?
I do.
Because every time you doubt him, he proves you wrong. And that's been his whole theme of his entire career. As soon as he started dipping from his first four games as a rookie, people were starting to question him, his overall, not just ability, his work ethic, his desire to be in Chicago. And ever since, even taking a whole year off, he has proven everybody wrong at every turn. And so for that reason, and there's been a few times on the podcast where I would say, you know, I'm sorry, Kyle, for even doubting you in the past. So for me, I'm going to not make that mistake again. I believe that, I'll pull a Steve. If he can maintain his same level of play from last year and carry it over to 2019, I would have no problems with that. How'd I do, Steve?
Good job. I like that answer.
Do you have anything else to add about Kyle?
I just kind of agree with you guys. He was fantastic last year. He's actually been fantastic the last 2 years. He just finally started getting some picks this last year, so he finally got recognized. He was an All-Pro, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, All-Pro. Yeah, he was an All-Pro, sorry. Keep doing what you're doing. And one thing I'll say is, despite being one of the best corners in the league the last couple of years, he's actually one of the most targeted corners in the league the last couple of years. So the one thing that might happen is if he gets targeted a little bit less, which I think he should, his interception numbers might go down a little bit, but that does not mean he's not still locking down his guy. So, yeah, I'm really excited about Kyle Fuller.
See, and that's why, even though stats are awesome, especially to make some arguments, there's other reasons to, you know, understand why potentially he might not have the same interceptions next year. If he's not going to be, because right. 2 years ago, he was the most targeted corner in the NFL, and he wasn't last year, but I know he was up there as well. So to your point, he may be targeted less, and a big reason why he may is because we don't know if Bryce Callahan is coming back, and if Bryce Callahan doesn't come back, there may be a big hole in that slot cornerback position that, you know, quarterbacks may want to target early and often next season. So, Steve, right back to you. How big of a hole would that be if Bryce Callahan doesn't end up being a Chicago Bear, and how hard would it be to fill either via free agency or the draft?
Yeah, I think it would be a huge hole. Bryce Callahan has played so well when he is healthy. Unfortunately, he can't stay healthy, and if he could stay healthy, he probably would already have a new contract. But I think it'd be a huge hole. We saw it this past season when the playoffs. I'm blanking on his
Sherrick McManus played.
Yeah, Sherrick McManus played all right, but he wasn't Bryce Callahan. And I don't think you can rely on Sherrick McManus going forward. Really, he's more of a career special teamer. So, yeah, it would be a huge hole. It will be a hard one to replace, because people like to say any corners can play nickel, but that's just not true. Nickel corner is an extremely hard position to play. So if you decide to take someone in the draft, there's no guarantee that works out. And if you decide to go through free agency, you're probably going to have to get, if you can't sign Bryce Callahan, you're probably going to have to go cheap in free agency anyway. So there's no guarantee that works out either. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest issue with the Bears defense right now.
Yes, and for those wondering why Sherrick McManus may not be a long-term fit, because he did play, like Steve said, admirably in his spot, and even in the regular season, he played very well. But to Steve's point, he is a career special teamer, and I believe that in a spot situation, he was able to kind of hold his own. I think he got exposed slightly, like Steve mentioned, in the playoffs. But for a full 16-game plus, ideally, hopefully, season next year. He's just not the long-term answer there. Their teams will figure out how to exploit him because there's a reason why he's been in special teams, but I don't want that to be a negative for him because this isn't the role that he was really brought in here to have. And despite that, when he was given the opportunity, he did, for the most part, play very well, and I appreciate it at the time. But that's just not an ideal situation for the Bears to kind of pursue for a 2019 full season kind of answer, if that makes sense. But Brandon, over to you. I believe that we're all on board that Bryce Callahan would be a big hole, so I don't want to kind of beat the dead horse there. What is, looking at these players, who has the biggest chance to improve and who has the biggest chance to regress?
I want to add on the Bryce Callahan thing real quick. Well, they could re-sign him for, I don't want to, you know, I'll almost say a bargain deal, because with him not being able to stay healthy, that almost plays into the Bears' favor as far as getting a favorable number back to him. I expect him still to ask for a lot, but regardless, I think they could still almost get him on a bargain deal just because he can't stay healthy, and they can kind of hold that against him, as much as that sucks. But which player is the most opportunity to grow? I'm actually going to kind of say Sherrick, because he hasn't had that opportunity to really, I mean, under this coaching regime. I think maybe the first couple years with Vic Fangio, he played nickel and he was terrible. Like when we first started this podcast, I remember never wanting to see Sherrick McManus play nickel cornerback again. But he stepped in and he kind of changed my mind a little bit this year when replacing Bryce Callahan. So that makes me think that he still has some room to grow despite being a career special teamer. I do agree with you guys that that is more of his role, so that's probably where he's going to end up. But as far as the one that's most likely to regress, I'm actually going to say Prince Amukamara, because the teams aren't going to target Kyle Fuller as much. We've seen where Prince can be exposed from time to time, and sometimes he'll get beat off the line. He's holding guys down the field where he gets good penalties. I think it was 2 years ago where I think the last quarter of the year, he was just consistently holding guys down the field. And that was like a one guaranteed flag every game was something on Prince Amukamara because he was just getting beat off the line. Now with him getting a little bit older, he also hasn't had the healthiest career line when you look at it. So all that may be starting to catch up with him with his age and things of that nature. So I would be looking at Prince as a guy to potentially regress, as much as that's not going to be good for the Bears, because I don't know that they have a plan to really fill that void at the moment. So if he doesn't really pan out, I guess, this year, or starts to show those signs of regression, I don't know what their backup plan is for him.
Well, he's making a lot of money, so he better not take any steps back in 2019. I will say I disagree with it being Sherrick McManus as most to improve. I think what we saw last year may just be his ceiling at that position. I appreciate the enthusiasm behind him, but for me, I think that may be his top.
Yeah, and I can agree with that, but with Chuck coming in and everything I'm seeing is him being this really great secondary coach, that makes me think that we can get a little bit more out of Sherrick. I don't know that it's a whole lot, but if he's going to be a regular starter, that's
He's not. I hope not. Fingers crossed. Should not be the situation we're in whatsoever. Right. I trust Ryan Pace to make sure that that is not how we're starting the 2019 season, all things considered. Steve, how about you? Do you have any strong opinions on who has who's in a position to maybe take a jump forward and maybe take a step backward?
Yeah, one player I liked was Kevin Tolliver. Mm-hmm. He played really well in the preseason. He had some shots in the regular season and played fine, for a rookie. But
and I think he has a chance that.
An undrafted right. Yeah, I think he has a chance to take a step up. I kind of agree with Brandon on Prince Amukamara. If there is someone who's going to take a step back, it's probably going to be him, like we talked about. He did have some issues with penalties. And also, if people stop targeting Kyle Fuller so much, you know, the targets have to go somewhere. So it might be Prince Amukamara. But I think he did play extremely well last season, and I want to give him compliments for that, because I was kind of not on board when we signed him to that three-year deal forget how much it was, but I thought at the time I thought it was too much. But I got to give him props. He actually played extremely well last year, and I hope he can keep it up. But yeah, if anyone's going to regress, it's probably going to be him.
Sounds so bad. Such a backhanded
Hey, you asked the question. I got to answer it.
Fair. I guess I need to, I lobbed it up for you, and you just creamed it. So I understand. Let's move on to the safeties, though, because obviously the duo of Adrian Amos and Eddie Jackson, they've been more than solid over their last 2 years together. But they may be on borrowed time as Adrian Amos is up for a contract. And let's go ahead and begin with them. And I know that the Bears, obviously, and I just need to mention it as much as possible, they don't have a ton of cap room. They can't sign everybody to a new deal. Like Steve said, you know, it's just the nature of the business. I really like that phrasing. I'm going to steal that for future episodes. Yep. Fun fact. Yours. Nice. I'm going to make sure I trademark that to protect myself too. But what would you do if you're Ryan Pace in this instant? I don't want to put Bryce Callahan into this equation just yet, because I think we can have a good argument about that here coming up. But just on Adrian Amos, would you flat out just re-sign him? Do you look at maybe a franchise or a transition tag? Do you just let him straight up walk? I'm just curious your thoughts, because there are kind of two rules of thought when it comes to Adrian Amos. You have those who believe he is elite, and you have those that believe he's just a product of being surrounded by a good defense and not being asked to play as much, say, center field like an Eddie Jackson does. So I'd be really curious your thoughts here. And Brandon, I'm going to go ahead and let you begin.
Yeah, because Adrian Amos is my guy, so I'm glad you went to me first so I can get all this off my chest, because I've really been thinking about this today. I'm in this middle ground. I don't think necessarily that Amos is elite, but he's not necessarily the product of other talent being around him. I think he's just a much better downhill player. And with Eddie Jackson being the better center fielder, there's no need for him to fill that role, because Adrian Amos still had a career year this year. Let's not discount that. So I think that what Ryan Pace is going to do with him is do what he did, something similar to Kyle Fuller, where he lets the market decide what it's going to cost. And if it's too much, then he'll probably just let him walk. But frankly, I think between either Amos or Callahan, I think they re-sign Amos just because Callahan struggles to stay healthy. And I think with Amos coming off of a career like he had, being that downhill player to come up and be there in run support, you know, he's shown that he can play very well in coverage as well. He's had a couple of interceptions these last couple of years after not having any for the first 2 years of his career. So I think that Amos is a guy that's going to come back, but I think Ryan Pace will let the market decide. So this is a strong free safety class this year, really.
True that. Exactly. That it is. So there are plenty of options on the table, and you better believe that the Bears are doing everything in their power to go through each and every possible scenario of who can come in, who can potentially walk out the door, how that impacts the team both financially and also on the field. But Steve, if you're Ryan Pace, what do you do with Adrian Amos?
Well, I think in the article I wrote a few weeks ago, whatever it is now, I said they should not re-sign him.
He did.
But Brandon does bring up a very good point, which I realize now that it is a very strong safety class. So I'm not sure he's going to get the contract that I thought he was going to get at the time when I wrote that article. So if that price tag comes down a little bit, I would love to have him back. I do not think he's an elite safety by any means. I think he's a good safety. But I think he fits what they do really well, because they have Eddie Jackson next to him. You don't need him to play center field. You just need him to cover tight ends, running backs, play in the slot a little bit. He doesn't have great coverage skills. He doesn't have great ball skills. Even his couple of interceptions were both on tips. Mm-hmm. He did make that one nice play in the playoffs, but he doesn't have great ball skills. So I struggle to pay a safety who doesn't have great ball skills, but what he does do, he does extremely well, and that's exactly what the Bears need. So I think he's a perfect fit, and I think he actually will end up re-signing with the Bears, the more I've thought about it.
Changing your mind on the podcast. That's what it's all about. I mean, good. That means you're, you know, being open to new ideas, which in 2019, it is hard for some people to accept new ideas. So I give you kudos for that one. So real quickly, say Amos is gone. Is Deion Bush the answer, or do you need to find someone else? Steve?
I think Deion Bush would be fine in this defense. I wouldn't love going into the season with him as a starter, but because we have such a great pass rush, such a good front seven, and because he won't be asked to play much center field, I think he would be fine. But I think if they do let Amos go, you can't just hand the keys to Deion Bush. You got to bring in some sort of competition with him, either a free agent or a drafted player, someone. You can't just give him the keys to the car.
Right, because like you said, he was fine. Again, he would be asked to do, like you said, not too much, which I think that kind of does play to his strong suit just a little bit. The thing about Bush that kind of rings true to me is that he was someone that Vic Fangio always talked up, and now Vic Fangio isn't here, so who is going to be, and even Ed Donatell's not here, so who is in his corner to, you know, advocate for him to get some playing time or to be in a certain position on the depth chart. I don't know if that's currently in there right now because of all the turnover from the coaching staff on defense. So I'd be curious to see exactly what kind of future is in store for a Deion Bush. What about you, B? What are your thoughts on Bush, either just starting or just his general 2019 outlook?
DHC. I actually think that since Eddie Jackson does such a good job of playing center field and just taking over the interception game as far as safeties go, that both DHC and Deion Bush would be fine stepping in, as they would need to be more of those downhill type of guys like we see Adrian Amos doing. I mean, these guys are going to be more role type players as starters. Just because you're given the starter role doesn't necessarily make you the best player out there. But these guys are serviceable and we would be able to fill the job just fine. I think that Deion Bush would be the better guy over DHC, in my opinion. Although DHC was a pretty good ball hawk there at William & Mary as well in his college days. But that being said, he hasn't had the amount of snaps in the NFL as he did there in college. So I think that Deion Bush is the smarter pick if we're going to go that route, because he is more of that downhill player, just like Adrian Amos. So I think those two guys, I don't want to say can be interchangeable, but the role would be the same and they can execute it pretty well.
Right. I know Bush can, you know, like you said, attack downhill. He can lay the wood. DHC, a little bit more undersized. Like, again, we know that. It's a tough situation. I think regardless, this is another position, kind of like corner, and kind of like outside of Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd, an outside linebacker, where I get very worried about the overall depth behind a few of these starters. So hopefully, again, bring more bodies to it with our current cap situation. Not going to be able to bring any like star stud names potentially, but still, anytime you can add more talent, even if Amos comes back, I think they might want to kind of tailor to the back end, just either with an undrafted free agent coming in, a veteran coming in, something along those lines, just to get more bodies out there. And again, they're going to do that because you bring in, you know, 90 guys to training camp. So it's going to happen, just a question of who.
So what's your confidence level then, I guess, in the backups?
It drops. As soon as Adrian Amos is gone, it drops drastically. If he's there, I'm fine. I think you can roll with it. But if he's gone, until you have a replacement that I'm confident and comfortable with, it gets real thin real fast as soon as he's gone.
Okay. I was just curious because, I mean, I'm trying to think of any like big blunders that these backups had. I mean, Deion Bush has had his communication issues in the past. I think he had, you know, one or two this year at least. But I can't think of any other huge blunders that these guys have shown as far as weaknesses go, other than just kind of being undersized like DHC. So that's just why I bring up the question. So
I would say Deion Bush, I agree with you. With DHC, I don't think he's ever had the opportunity to display those blunders.
That's also true.
Which is fine. I'm not opposed to that totally whatsoever. Fine. All right, so real quickly, let's go through these positions, and I want you to give me your top three needs in order on defense. Steve looks like he is scrambling to put that together. So, Brandon, I'm going to be nice because Steve's not on the podcast as a regular, or else I would be playing a little bit of hardball here. So, Brandon, over to you. What are going to be your top three needs?
I'll start with the least need, and I'm going to say that it is safety depth. I will agree with you there. I think we can improve at that position as far as quality depth goes. Whether they bring back Adrian Amos or not, they have to be able to address and be able to improve either Deion Bush or DHC by bringing in other guys, things of that nature, just to make them improve. So I think that the quality of depth, not necessarily the quantity of guys there, but the quality of that depth needs to improve. So that's a need that I'm looking at. I'm also looking at the outside linebacker depth at number two, because that's like we talked about, outside of Leonard Floyd, Komak, there's not really anybody that's reliable. Granted, those are all rotational pieces. But if Leonard Floyd continues to not have these healthy seasons where he doesn't play all 16 games, I mean, he had the injured hand, so he was able to play. I think he maybe only missed one game all year. But regardless, those backup pieces need to be there for those rotational minutes, especially with an aggressive Chuck Pagano. They need to be able to continue to send the pass rush. And if Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd are not totally healthy, as we've seen in the middle quarter of the season, the Bears kind of struggled to get to the quarterback, which wasn't really on any of our radars as far as a weakness, as far as the overall team goes. So the backup depth for outside linebackers, number two, and the biggest need is going to be that nickel corner, because we're not sure about Bryce Kelly. And like I said, they might be able to get him on a bargain deal because he also can't stay healthy. But if Chuck Pagano is going to be as aggressive as I hear that he's going to be, as far as just because that's his coaching style, then he's got to be able to get reliable corners out there to be able to keep these guys close in one-on-one situations, be those sticky guys that we talk about with Prince and Bryce. So that's my number one need is the nickel corner, whether that is Bryce or not. They just got to be able to have someone reliable if Pagano draws up all these blitzes.
All right. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, it's hard to say right now because we know they're probably going to re-sign one of Bryce Callahan or Adrian Amos. But if we're going just based on where we are at today, I'm going to be super boring and I'm going to agree with Brandon. Same order. the safeties, I think, like you said, Deion Bush would be fine if we have to go in with him as the starter at one of the safety spots. So that's why it's the third biggest need. Outside linebacker, I think, is the second biggest need. Right now, we don't have a third pass rusher. And you obviously need three good pass rushers, maybe even four. So I think that's actually maybe even a bigger need than some people might realize, because we do have Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd, but they have to come off the field at some point. So I think that's a pretty big need. And then we talked about it. Bryce Callahan, if he's not re-signed, they don't have any faith in anyone else really on the roster to kind of take over that role. So that becomes the biggest need. You either have to get as big of a free agent as you can get with the limited cap space, or a high draft pick, a third or fourth round pick. So I think that is pretty clear cut the biggest need right now.
All right. I'm going to slightly disagree, but not too much. We actually have the same positions, just a little bit differently in order. I have safety as number one until you know what's happening with Adrian Amos. Even though you guys are a little bit more confident in, say, Deion Bush to take over than I am, I would still classify that as a need. If Amos walks out, then I think you need to find a quote unquote someone who you believe can step in and be a starter. And then if somehow Deion Bush finds a way to beat them in training camp, great. If not, then you found that guy to be your replacement for Adrian Amos. But until you have that, for me, it's going to be my top need. Directly below slot cornerback, you guys mentioned it. If Bryce Callahan comes back, this obviously goes out the window. But until he's locked down with a contract, right now that's a definite need, because we don't want to share McManus stepping into that role for a full season. And then you mentioned it, outside linebacker depth, because we need it. Outside of the top two, not too many people to feel 100% confident about stepping in a role. So yeah, good stuff, guys, there. Real quick, I did want to talk about potential surprise cuts. Steve did kind of allude to two that are on my list, Nick Kwiatkowski and John Bullard. Is there anyone else on your radar that could be potentially cut that would be a surprise?
Hmm.
I can't really think of anyone else. I think those two are could be cut, but I know some people I've seen on Twitter that potentially Danny Trevathan could be cut. I don't think that makes any sense at all, but I wanted to address it because I have seen it on Twitter. So I guess that would be a surprise cut, but I really don't see that happening. I think those two guys, Jonathan Bullard and Nick Kwiatkowski, are really the two names that might be gone when the season starts.
Now, I understand Danny Trevathan from a cap standpoint, because he's set to make a lot of money. But I agree with you that that's not the right move, and I doubt the Bears make this because it goes against everything that they've ever done. Ryan Pace brought in Trevathan to be a leader at that position. He proved that he can be that, and he has also proven now he can stay healthy. There's no way that now he's getting there, and he's kind of actually fulfilling the role that you wanted him to say, all right, thank you, but we're going to move on. And then you still don't even know what the answer is at that position outside of him.
Right.
Maybe it's Nick Kwiatkowski, maybe it's an Iggy, but even then, there's still going to be a drop-off in play, even when Roquan Smith, you know, takes over the reins, sort of speak. So yeah, no, that makes no sense, and I don't see Danny Trevathan grew to be a Chicago Bear. He came from Denver. He won a Super Bowl as a Bronco, but he is a Chicago Bear. He loves his Chicago. He loves his team. He loves his teammates, and I just don't see any way you let him go out the door. He is a very much a leader by example and a vocal leader for that Bears defense, and to let him walk, I think, would be a big mistake by Ryan Pace, even if it does save him a pretty chunk of change. But I just don't see that being the way that Ryan Pace does business. So for me, I'm with Steve. I don't think that's going to be a possibility. Financially, I get it. But when you look at the real life kind of situation, nah, it just doesn't cut it this year. But next year, if the nature of the league allows, then that makes sense.
There you go.
All right, so let's go ahead and play a game of pass or play. That's right. It's been another week, and I still haven't came up with a new name for this game. So I'm going to give Brandon Aceva a player, and they need to tap into their inner GM and decide if the Bears should sign him to a new deal or let him walk in free agency. We have eight players, so let's go ahead and begin, and let's begin with what everyone's wondering about. Brandon, what do you do with Nick Williams?
With Nick Williams, he actually was a solid nose tackle in the preseason. I remember watching him in the Hall of Fame game, being able to, basically be a, I don't want to say an Eddie Goldman type, but against that type of level of competition, it seemed like he was almost that way, but they're going to pass on him because they're going to clear up some cap space. I think that they can find similar guys if need be for depth at that position. But yeah, I think I'm passing on Nick Williams.
Steve, what do you do on Mr. Williams?
I would probably pass just like Brandon, but at the same time, if they do re-sign him, it's going to be probably to the vet minimum. So not really a high risk or high reward signing. So I'll just say pass.
Okay. I'll say play. Actually, I'll be the tiebreaker here. I liked him actually last year, cause he's been here for a couple of years. And even though he didn't see the field last year, I think that's just due to the Bears being so deep. And if they want to bring him back to training camp to be that camp body to see if he can earn himself a spot in this roster again or maybe practice squad, I'm unsure of his eligibility. So if he's ineligible, I apologize. But on the surface, like Steve said, if he's the vet minimum and he's going into camp, I'm fine with Nick Williams coming back to provide that extra body. Let's move on to another Williams. What about Marcus Williams, 31-year-old cornerback? I know you guys are like, who? I'm just going through the contracts that are up, and I made sure to start off with some of the lesser-known ones here. So I guess that might just be a pass and a pass. But, Brandon, what are you going to do with Marcus Williams? We do need cornerback depth.
I would say we can play him in training camp just to see what happens, but I don't think he makes it onto the final roster, so I'm passing.
Steve, he may come in with the vet minimum. Does that sway you?
When you said Marcus Williams, I had to think about who that was for a second. And that's not good because I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable about the Bears. So I'm going to go with pass.
I'm going to pass too, actually. I think they have other future contracts out there, like, Don Franklin, who's obviously younger, way more raw, of course. But yeah, I think Marcus Williams, even if he does come back, he's not going to survive training camp. So I would kind of look elsewhere to provide a little bit of additional depth at the cornerback position. Up next, let's do Aaron Lynch, actually. This is one that people know, people are interested in. So Aaron Lynch, let's go to Steve first. What would you do here? Because like you said, we need a couple extra pass rushers. He displayed it in his spurts, but history of injuries, and that doesn't seem to want to end.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, I definitely want to play, have him back. I don't know what kind of contract he's going to get, though. I think he might have played his way outside of the Bears' range a little bit. But if he wants to come back on a similar type deal that he had, maybe a longer-term deal but the same annual value, I would say bring him back for sure. But I just don't know what kind of contract he's going to get. I think with pass rushers, someone's going to give him a bigger contract than what the Bears are willing to give him.
And on top of that, too, he was a Vic Fangio guy. Came in due to Fangio, knowing him, having faith in him. And again, now that's gone. So I'd be curious exactly how that would kind of sway the Bears' decision here from a front office standpoint. But what about you, Brandon? You look like you're very much deep in thought here. So are you going to pass or are you going to play?
Yeah, because you just swayed me. Because I was going to say play, because we've seen it in spurts, but his injury history kind of, would bring him back on a bargain deal similar to what I was saying about Bryce Callahan. But you swayed me with him being a Vic Fangio guy. So for that reason, I'm passing on him. I think that there's other guys that they can get, especially at his role on the depth chart. I think that there's better quality guys that we can get more reliable production out of, younger guys in the draft or undrafted free agents. Because we've seen that we can hit on the undrafted free agents as well from time to time. So I'm passing on Aaron Lynch.
All right, three passes in a row from you guys. I'd be curious to see if we can change that. I think we can. Number four on my list, Roy Robertson-Harris. The Bears, again, do have exclusive rights. He's not an unrestricted free agent, but he is still up for a contract, and it's not 100% certain that he'll be a Bear, although it does seem likely. Brandon, if you had to choose, would you pass or play on Roy Robertson-Harris?
I'm playing because I think that we haven't seen everything that he's got, and he's showed some flashes, especially early on when Khalil Mack first came, because people were kind of disregarding that Roy Robertson-Harris was on the field, so that allowed him to be able to go in there and make some plays, and we can see exactly what it is that he can do. Very explosive player, got a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, especially for a guy of his size. I liked him when we got him as an undrafted undrafted free agent a few years ago. So I am playing Ray Robertson-Harris.
All right. Steve, are you in the same boat?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Ray Robertson-Harris. I really like what he provides as a pass rusher in nickel packages. And I think he'll definitely be back as a Bear next year. So, and I really like what he offers. He offers something a little bit different than the other defensive lineman that they have. He's a little longer, a little more athletic. So I think he's a perfect player to bring back and using really just nickel packages. I don't see him playing much in the base defense, but yeah, I think he's a solid player.
Okay, so from one hyphenated last name to another, DeAndre Houston Carson, Brandon, ever since he was drafted, you've been, you know, hammering at the table, not really, but kind of, about this guy from William and Mary, especially with his once was ability to block kicks. Obviously, we haven't seen it at the pro level, but still, now that his rookie contract is kind of up in the air, what would you do with a DeAndre Houston Carson? Do you bring him back?
As much as I like to hammer on the table whenever I get the chance, when we get to talk about him, which isn't very often, he's my fan favorite, but I don't think he's coming back. I mean, they'll bring him back for training camp, but I don't think he makes it, because like we talked about, the depth at the safety position is something that needs to be addressed. And as long as they can find somebody else, I think that he's one of those serviceable guys that I don't know what his deal would be if it can be any cheaper, but if they can get a guy for cheap, but it's still unproven, has a lot more potential, a lot more room to grow, then I think they go for that rather than.
All right, Steve, how about you? DHC, yay or nay?
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were going to play for sure. I was going to say pass just to see the look on your face, but since you passed, I'm actually going to mix it up and I'll say play. I say they can bring him back on a vet minimum deal just because of what he provides on special teams. And, you know, he won't kill you if he gets into the game. So I think they'll find a way to bring him back.
All right. There you go. Yeah, I'm trying to play when I can, but also due to time constraints, I'm trying not to chime in with each and every one. Personally, with me, with DHC, I think I would pass. I do understand that he was not going to garner a huge contract. He already is familiar with the system. He does have some special teams value as well. I would not be surprised. And if they do bring him back, I'm not going to be upset about it by any means. But I do think you can find other quality safety / special team depth elsewhere. And someone who's maybe a little bit more sized up to play in the NFL at a higher level. Because the thing about DHC to me is his size, and you don't really recognize it until he's actually out there in pads. He's a very small player for the position. So for me, I would look elsewhere. I believe Ryan Pace, when he drafted him, I believe it was the sixth round, kind of envisioned his special teams role. And maybe if he's fulfilled it, he does get another contract, but I wouldn't be surprised really one way or another here. Moving on to number six, and let's go to Steve first. Isaiah Irving, what would you do, a pass or play?
See, this is a tough one because I'm not a big Isaiah Irving fan. I don't think he's really shown that much in his, what is it? He's been in the league for a few years now. So, yeah. But I don't think he's ever going to be much more than a fourth or fifth pass rusher, special teams guy. So again, if he's making the vet minimum, I'd be fine with bringing him back. If they decide to go a different route, I'd see that too. But I think because of their lack of depth at the outside linebacker position, they end up bringing him back.
All right, B.
He's a preseason phenomenon. Always seems to be able to stand out then, but when the season rolls around, he can't seem to size up. He always looks a little smaller out there to me, since we're just talking about DHC being smaller. This is another guy that always just seems to look small on the field to me. So I'm with Steve. I think they bring him back mostly just because he's familiar with the guys in the system. They need that depth. He's familiar with everyone else around. So I think they bring him back, but not by my want
or desire. My need.
Yes, desire. That's the word.
All right. Now the last two, and it's obviously Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan. So for these two, I want these to be kind of together. So 7 and 8, Adrian Amos, Bryce Callahan. Do you pass and play on either? Do you try to bring in both? And again, maybe ideally you do want to play both, but I want to kind of take this from a reasonable standpoint, from a financial standpoint, because it's going to be very difficult to make that happen. Even though maybe that's what we would like, to keep all 11 starters coming back for another year. But I'd just be really curious exactly because, you know, this is the big question. And Steve, you've answered it about a month ago already here on the blog between these two. And you may have changed your mind, but we'll go to you in a second. Brandon, Amos, Callahan, if you had a pass or play on either, what are you going to do?
I'm playing on Amos, and I'm passing on Callahan. Because from a financial standpoint, I don't see how you can work it to get both these guys back unless they do something in the draft where they trade a guy away to either acquire more picks and he has a decent salary hit. I just don't know, because we never know what the draft pace, you know. So I'm not shutting the door on completely passing on Callahan, but as it stands right now, as of today, February 15th at 7:39 Central Time, I am passing on Bryce Callahan and playing Adrian Amos. I think it's hard to pass up on a guy that had a career year. And as strong as the safety class is, and as much as Amos may say, well, my PFF grade was this, I was the best safety. I mean, let's not base our salary numbers off of that, please, because that's he's not that elite level. He's good. It's not necessarily because it's a product of the talent around him. He's just a very solid all-around player. He's been consistent. I think he's maybe only missed one game in his time here so far. So I think he's a guy that you can definitely bring back. Bryce Callahan has not been a guy to show that he can consistently play. So for that reason, I'm passing on Callahan playing Amos.
All right, Steve, are you going to just do the lazy route and copy Brandon again, or agree with, I should say?
I don't know. This is a tough one. I don't envy Ryan Pace, because this is a very tough decision. If it's just based on talent, I think Bryce Callahan is by far the more talented player. But like you said, the injuries, hey, you have to take the injuries into account. I'm not going to rule out re-signing both of them, because I think, like I mentioned before, that Adrian Amos might not get the big contract he's expecting because of the deep free agent class at safety. And I think with Bryce Callahan, you might be able to get a slight discount because of the injuries, or maybe have a lot of incentives in his deal or something. So I'm not going to rule out signing both of them. But I guess I have to make a decision. So realistically, I'd say probably they end up keeping Amos and letting Bryce Callahan go.
What's harder to fill, Steve, in your opinion, a safety position or finding a new starting slot corner?
Corner, I think, by long shot. But the issue, though, if you re-sign Callahan and he gets injured,
then you're
kind
back.
Of screwed. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So it's a tough decision, but yeah, much harder to fill cornerback, but I think you kind of have to go with what you know and what you have, and Amos seems to be that guy.
No, since Steve's been agreeing with me, I want to agree with Steve, and I do not envy Ryan Pace in this situation.
Yeah.
No, not one bit. Speaking of Ryan, Steve, I know you like the financials. I'm just curious your point here, or at least your opinion. What are the chances that Pace gets creative yet again and finds a way to backload, say, the Adrian Amos contract if his price range is maybe slightly out for maybe 2019, 2020 to find a way to give him some more compensation 2021 further, which I know gets murky because of a lot of this offensive talent that's going to potentially want to get re-signed as well.
Yeah, that's why it scares me. I wouldn't really be a big fan of backloading too many contracts because, like you said, we're going to have to re-sign Trubisky eventually and all the offensive players, Cohen and all of them. So, and Eddie Jackson is going to need to get paid soon. So I would be not a big fan of backloading those contracts, but if anyone can find a way to do it, it's Ryan Pace. I have complete faith in him. So get it done, Ryan. We're counting on you. If you're listening, I know you are. So
I think you can fulfill either spot, either your slot cornerback position or safety. If you only do one this year and you sign whoever you choose, and again, there's some different ways to kind of think about this, and the durability of Callahan really does weigh into this decision. But I do trust Ryan Pace that if he wants to use his first pick in the draft to say, okay, well, I can't afford both, let's find the replacement now to do it. I mean, he's done it so many times in so far this on this team. Last week, when I was talking to Nick about the state of the franchise for the offense, Bradley Sowell is making more than both Cody Whitehair and James Daniels next season. It's just because of the rookie contract. So I think he can find a way to fill one of these spots with a very cap-friendly rookie kind of deal here. So that's just my two cents. It doesn't have to be a free agent. I believe that, not every draft will be a home run. You won't hit on every one of your draft picks. But Ryan Pace gives me a lot of confidence that if he knew that this was going to be the hole, so if he picks his poison, say he's like, okay, let's go ahead and get the slot cornerback figured out. So he uses his top pick on the best cornerback available at the time. Even if he was an outside guy in college, to slide him in, that might be another option if you want to kind of keep Adrian Amos, just keeping all things considered here. All right. You guys ready to wrap up the show with a few fan questions?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right.
Some of these on Twitter, and I'm looking forward to see which ones we get.
Nice. Well, hopefully I played moderator to your liking. So the first one's from Patrick, and I have to give this one to Steve because I'm going to use Brandon's phrase here. Spoiler alert, you already wrote an article on this that I've already edited, but how realistic is it the Bears try to sign a Terrell Suggs as a situational pass rusher?
Ooh, yeah, I'm glad you went to this to me with this because I love that idea. Like you said, I am writing an article. It should be, sometime next week probably. I think he'd be a great signing. I think he'd be perfect for what they need, and I think he'd be perfect for them. Or we would be perfect for him, I should say. I think that's a great idea. The one thing that kind of complicates it is because I think he really wants to retire as a Raven, but the Bears do offer a better chance of winning a Super Bowl than the Ravens do, and I think that will be high on his list of priorities. Plus, he's familiar with Chuck Pagano. He was the defensive player of the year under Chuck Pagano. So I think it makes a ton of sense. You could probably get him for a pretty cheap deal because, especially like we discussed, the Bears need to sign a bunch of people pretty coming up soon. So a one-year deal for an aging veteran sounds like a perfect fit for me.
I mean, he's what, like 67 years old right now?
Something like that, yeah.
What about you, B? What are your thoughts on Suggs?
I don't know, I've never actually really thought about it, but it makes a lot of sense, Steve's point. Well, I've never really thought of like Suggs as coming to Chicago. Like, I would think that his cap hit's too big, so I never even really considered it. But to Steve's point, the Bears do stand a better chance of winning a Super Bowl than a Joe Flacco-less Ravens at the moment. So I think that it would make sense for him to come here as long as the money's right. But I am really being stingy when it comes to players that I want in free agency, just knowing of the small financial situation that the Bears are in. So I never even really considered Terrell Suggs, to be honest.
Yeah, one thing I'll say to that is he actually made the same amount of money as Aaron Lynch did last season. So he wasn't really breaking the bank for the Ravens. And if he wants to take a similar deal, I think that the Bears could make that money work. But we'll see.
I mean, and one last thing, if not just the Bears having a better chance of winning the Super Bowl, not just a chance for him to reunite with a Chuck Pagano, but also to play with a Khalil Mack. I mean, those two together, I mean, that'd be like, you know, from one era, and you know, Suggs is still playing decent, but obviously his better days are behind him. So from one great era pass rusher to the new kind of age with those two on the same team, that would be fun from a fan perspective as well. And you better believe those two, I think, would easily be able to hit it off. And on top of that, we talked about earlier in the show about Khalil Mack. What will it take for him to take the next step? Maybe it's a Terrell Suggs. Maybe he learns one thing from this veteran who's been around a little bit longer that can help him refine his game to a degree that I can't even put into words, because honestly, it's unfathomable to even believe that Khalil Mack could even get better. But maybe that's a way to do it as well, with some of that old veteran leadership of a Terrell Suggs. So the next question, we already answered, it was from Odon. Does Pace sign Amos or Callahan? So hopefully, if you're listening to the show, we answered your question by now. So we'll move on to number three, and it's from Cass. And B, I'll go to you first. How do you think that the position coach turnover is really going to affect the quality of the defensive play execution?
I think we'll see it be hindered early, just because it's an adjustment. You know, they got to get used to their coaching styles, things of that nature. They may teach them different techniques that they're not used to, ones that coaches would rather see because it's worked for them in the past. So I think we see it maybe be a little bit hindered early, but I don't see it being a huge deal. There's just a lot of talent on this defense in general, so I don't see it being an overall big deal. But there is going to be a little bit of an adjustment. So hopefully they can squeak that out in the preseason before we get into like week six and it's still lingering.
What about you, Steve? Because even though all the talent is going to remain, or the vast majority of the talent is going to remain on the defense, what kind of impact do you think the changing coaches and overall leadership per position could end up having?
Yeah, I agree with Brandon completely. I think in the beginning of the year might see a little bit of an impact, but ultimately talent wins out and the Bears are extremely talented. And what I liked about the Chuck Pagano hire is he said that he was going to learn the Bears scheme and the Bears terminology. So I imagine he's going to tell his position coaches they have to do the same thing. So that will ease the transition a little bit, but there's always going to be a transition process. So maybe in the beginning of the year, but I don't see anything really to worry about.
Now, real quickly, because when you say, and this is a little bit different, but I just go back to Mel Tucker a little bit, because when he came in, he's like, I will learn Levy's system and then I will execute it. And obviously that failed miserably. Now, I know that a lot of these guys have a very similar background to what this defense was last year. Do you think that's going to make it where we don't have another Tucker fiasco?
Yeah, I think so. Because Pagano, like Pagano said, he's going to learn the Bears scheme and terminology, but I don't think it was, it's still a 3-4 defense. Still, it's not as different. I think Mel Tucker was kind of forced to run Lovie Smith's defense.
Yes.
Where Chuck Pagano is going to, is, it was his idea to run Vic Fangio's defense. So I don't think it's going to be as bad, as hopefully not as bad.
No,
as
it better not be. Don't ruin a great thing, because we definitely have it here in Chicago with our defense. Number four, and this is the last one I had because a lot of them were very similar, with a lot of questions about free agent signings to fill depth across the board, especially linebacker and safety, which to our point throughout this entire the show, it makes a lot of sense that those are a couple of positions that fans are kind of looking into to kind of add some more pieces to the puzzle here. So pretty much everyone's just curious, do we already have some names on our radar to fill a few of these holes? Steve, I'm curious, because I know you love the offseason, you love putting together rosters. Do you have any potential free agents that are out there that you have kind of on your short list?
Yeah, I have a couple. One guy, starting with just safety, I guess. I really like Trey Boston. I think he was at the Cardinals last year, I want to say. I like him a lot. I don't think he would break the bank. He'll probably end up, thinking about him though, is he'll probably end up getting a similar contract to Adrian Amos. So you might just want to rather have Adrian Amos. If they want to go to it with a cheaper option at safety, one guy I like, and I wrote about him slightly, a little bit early in the offseason, he's a Chuck Pagano guy. It's Matthias Farley, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a restricted free agent, but he's not going to break the bank at all. So I think that they might go that way. I already talked about Suggs. He's a guy I like, an outside linebacker. Yeah, I haven't done too much digging into the free agent class, but those are a couple of guys that I've liked.
All right, what about you, B? I know you've been fairly busy working an extraordinary amount of work hours per week lately. So if you haven't been able to dive into the upcoming free agency class, that's okay. But I'm just curious if you do have anyone in mind.
I mean, I don't know how much money the Honey Badger is actually going to want, but I would see that as a good replacement for Adrian Amos, in my opinion, as another safety guy. Looking at corner, I see Kareem Jackson on this list. He kind of got omitted from the top 25. I'm looking at the NFL's top 25 free agents this year. Seen Kareem Jackson on there, also from the Texans as a cornerback. But last time we did that with Quentin Dumps, that didn't quite turn out very well either. Granted, he was a safety, but regardless, same story. I'm not too sold on that one yet either. So I really like that there's a lot of choices as far as filling in safety if they decide to let Adrian Amos walk. And granted, Adrian Amos doesn't even make the omissions for the top 25. So that tells me he definitely could come in at a reasonable price for the Bears. But I mean, I don't think that there's a whole lot of smart financial decisions just looking at this list myself. So I'm sticking with my Honey Badger turn. Tyrann Mathieu is the only really, really realistic replacement for Adrian Amos if he goes. But yeah, outside of that, I haven't really looked too deep into pass rushers or anything like that yet. Mostly been looking at secondary.
I would advise looking off of the top 25 because I don't know how many of the top 25 are going to be able to afford. For me, I just have one name right now that is really sticking out. And right now, I do believe he's in talks with potentially re-signing with the Steelers, but it's Anthony Ciccolo. He has 7 sacks in the past 3 years. He's also very prominent on their special teams units. I would say he's an upgraded version of an Aaron Lynch, may require just a little bit more money, but not too much. And I really would, if you go back to Steve's point, if you can find a way to, you know, talk Suggs to come on over, you bring in Ciccolo as well. Those being your top four, you know, Leonard Floyd, Khalil Mack, Anthony Ciccolo, Terrell Suggs. Now that's fun. That's exciting. So that's what I would go for if I'm Ryan Pace, but I'm not the decision maker. I don't write the checks. So that's a different discussion for a different day, but there are options out there if they really want to bolster depth, especially outside linebacker with a veteran like a Suggs and some younger player who is has potential but hasn't really put it all together yet. I think if you can find a way to put those two together, you can really put the Bears in a great position to have what we were hoping for earlier in the show with some depth at the position that we're confident in, that once either 94 or 52 need to take a moment to breathe, they can go in and find a way to make their impact as well. All right, guys. Well, I am out of material for this podcast. Do you guys have any final thoughts about the Bears defense heading into the offseason? I know we talked about them for an hour and 25 so far, so I'm sure that you're probably dry.
It's at least nice to know that a lot of our concerns come with depth pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having the starters be solidified is an extremely nice feeling.
Yeah, like I was telling Nick too last week. It's like every year you and I, Nick, we've done the Save the Franchise episodes. We're like, tear it all to shreds, start all over.
Yep.
You got to find a way to make it right. And now it's like, oh, we're in a really good spot. We just need to, you know, add a supplemental piece here, make a decision about this player here. And then it's, and that's, other than that, it's really nitpicking. So that's a good, like you said, it feels good to be in this spot, but also I'm hungry for more. So I'm willing to make some of these tough decisions. Well, I don't have to, but I'd be willing to make some of these tough decisions and of course, continue to bolster the roster in some strategic ways. Again, I know there's some constraints, so finding a way to be savvy is going to be a big key for Ryan Pace this offseason. How about you, Steve? Any final thought?
No, I just think that was a really good point that you guys just made about this offseason is completely different from what we're used to. You know, talking about the second safety and how Deion Bush is going to fit in is might not seem like that much fun, but it's actually better than the alternative. So I'm looking forward to next season. One thing I will say is, even though we had a really great defense last season, I don't think they should not improve the defense, because you don't want to just sit still and let people catch up to you. You know, you keep on going, keep on getting more pass rushers, more corners, as much talent as possible, and let's really just make a strength an even stronger strength, if that makes sense.
Make a strength even a more of a stronger strength. It makes sense to me. May not be sure. The most grammatically sound kind of way to go about it, but it definitely makes sense. So refining, retooling, finding ways to continue to take growth steps. See, we're all running out. We need more podcasts per week, because, man, in the season, I'm in a flow of things. And right now I'm like, how do I podcast? What do I say? But all right, I'm going to call that an episode. And I want to thank, of course, Brandon and Steve for taking time out of their Friday evening, a little bit off schedule for us to do a podcast. So thank you guys for hopping on. And thanks to everyone here on YouTube for joining the live show. I know it's Friday night. You probably have a million things that you could be doing, and you chose to be here during the live show. So I really do appreciate the time that you did to do that. A reminder for YouTube people, we're now less than 80 subscribers away from reaching 5,000 overall. And once we do, I haven't told Brandon about this, but I'm sure he listened to the last episode, so he knows. Once we reach the 5,000 subscriber mark, we're going to have what I'm going to call like a 5K subscriber party. It'll just be a YouTube-only event. We're just going to kind of come on, very informal, just sit around, chat, talk with you, maybe answer a few questions, maybe some, you know, whatever you want us to let you know, to tell you, either about the Bears or life in general, or something about us, some personal facts. We're here to share those as well. So just an informal event just to kind of show our appreciation for you. And for you podcast listeners, if you're new or if you haven't yet, please take a moment to review our show on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. I know we're over 400 worldwide, but we're sitting a couple shy in the States. So help us reach that goal here if you are from the United States. And if you're elsewhere, I don't mind if you give us a review as well. I'll definitely check that out. So thanks for everyone for tuning in. And hope you enjoy this episode of the Chicago Audible. We'll be back next week with another show. Have no idea what we're going to be talking about, but we're going to sit down and figure it out between now and then. So, of course, have a great weekend. And until next time, Bear Down, Chicago. Bear down, Chicago, Bear.